Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. It is Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday. We'll do that a little bit later on. You have your 2 for Tuesday. It's one artist, two songs. Get your requested now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We're about to say hello to Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive. If you have any car or automotive question at all, he'll be happy to help you out. And the phone lines and the text lines are open right now for any car or automotive question. Get them in there now. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And you can check out consumerguide.com as well. Let's welcome Tom back to the show. Tom, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. How you been?
I'm good. Good. Thank you.
All right. Very, very cool. I saw that on the social media, you and the family went to go see the Stones.
We did. Yes.
How was that?
It was good. And I really wanted my daughter to see the Stones.
Was it her first time?
It was her first time. It's likely her only time, I suspect. I think she was a little overwhelmed. She had never been to a concert with 62,000 other people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's quite a thing.
Well, you got to see them at least once. You know what I mean? That's, you know.
You do.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, we've been around since 1967. We went online in 1995 and really never looked back. All of our new car and used car reviews live at consumerguide.com. We try to have some fun with what's going on in the auto biz and look back at auto culture and auto history, and that lives at our blog. You can get there from consumerguide.com or just go directly to the cgdailydrive.com blog.
And there you go. What have you been driving lately? I always like to ask you this. What have you been driving?
Wow, I just drove two crazy vehicles back-to-back. I just drove the Range Rover Sport SVR. This is the sportiest of all Range Rover vehicles, and it's basically the second-largest Range Rover vehicle stuffed full of a 575-horsepower supercharged V8.
Whoa.
It is kind of a silly thing. It is also wonderful.
Yeah.
If for some reason I suddenly became very, very rich, this might be on my shopping list.
Mm.
And I swapped that today for the 2020 Kia Soul GT line, which I absolutely love. Other end of the scale, this is under 30 grand. I love the Kia Soul, and they just made it a lot better for 2020.
Wow, that's great. What else has been test driven around the office?
We recently drove the Jaguar I-Pace. That's the new all-electric Jaguar, and it's part of a spate of electric vehicles coming from Europe in the form of luxury crossovers. Liked it a lot. We had a couple of little electrical gremlins crack up, but this was a prototype vehicle, so we're going to give it a little bit of slack. Very, very fast, a little bit cramped. I think it may be a little sporty for the people it's trying to attract, but certainly promising.
Oh, okay. And how often do you guys, how long do you drive the cars generally? I've asked you this question before, but just remind everybody.
Yeah. We have four full-time editors, and we try to get each one of them through a vehicle over a period of 2 weeks. So we swap on Mondays and Thursdays, essentially.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got some news stories we're going to talk about. And again,
yeah.
The phone lines are open. The text lines are open. If you have a question for Tom that's car or automotive related, we'd love to help you out. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Let's start off with a text real quick here, Tom.
Sure.
630 area code says, did Honda fix the problem of gas mixing with the oil for the CR-V 2019?
I don't know much about that particular problem. I think there might have been a silent recall on that. If the caller wanted to, they could give me a call and I could, or send me an email and I could look into that further. I don't know a lot about that engine deal.
Okay. All right. So if you want to, and by the way, you can also go to the Consumer Guide Automotive and subscribe to the newsletter and everything, right?
Yep. Just send me an email. Yep.
Okay. There you go. All right. Let's start up now. Here's an interesting story. People are holding on to their cars a lot longer. Lots of people have older cars, and the figure keeps going up.
Yeah, we hit an all-time high last year of 11.8 years old. So the average car on the road now is 12 years old.
Wow.
If you look around Chicago, it doesn't seem like it's quite that high, but apparently it is. And this is an interesting story because there's a bunch of reasons for this. And I'm not entirely sure we can identify all the reasons, but cars last longer. But people are also paying longer on their car payments, so they're taking better care of their cars. So it's a very interesting story. Also, apparently, according to the same article, the people out west are holding onto their vehicles longer than people out east. For whatever reason. Although they're not ravaged by snow, winter, and rust, so that might be part of the reason.
Yeah, it probably is a weather-related thing, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And how does this affect... Now, the people are holding on to their cars longer, an average of 12 years the cars are out there, are 12 years old. How does this affect the sale of cars?
Well, that's a good question. And we actually ran into a situation where, after the recession, there was a dearth of used cars for a while, so used car prices kept going up and up. So it depends on how long and for what reason people are holding on to cars. But right now, it's starting to affect used car new car sales. People are stuck under their payments longer. Used cars aren't holding their value a little bit better. So new car sales are starting to suffer for the first time since the recession, really.
Mm. And now, in people that you just talked to, like people around the office or anything like that, they're regular cars, not the test driving cars that they do. Are they older? Do you have older cars too?
Yeah, sort of. I'm trying to think of it. My wife and I hold on to cars forever.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually other car guys tend to do the same thing. It's funny. We write about new cars, and then we just never buy new cars. It's a very strange cycle.
Yeah. What's the car that you had the longest?
Oh, wow. My wife had her 2002 Volvo S60 for close to 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, great car.
Yeah, yeah. Is that the case, the guys in the office, too? They hold on to their cars, too, for a long time?
Oh, forever, yeah. I know. Our guy Damon's driving a Mazda 5. I don't know if people even remember that vehicle. It was sort of a mini minivan. But I think he's had that now for the better part of a decade.
I'm trying to remember how long I've had cars. I don't think I had... I think it was my fantastic Ford Escort that I had the longest. And I got it in 90. It was an 86, and I got it in 90. And I had it for about 10 years.
There you go.
Yeah, a little more. I think a little bit more than 10 years. That's the car I think I had the most. And I drove that thing into the ground, Tom.
That's the thing to do. The guys, when there used to be Click and Clack on WTTR, I'm sorry, on Channel...
Yeah.
And NPR, I'm sorry,
yeah,
NPR.
NPR, yeah.
Yeah. They had a rule, buy a 10-year-old car and keep it for 10 years.
Yeah, Mike, when I bought it, it was a 4-year-old car. But I kept it for 10 years, and I drove that thing into the ground, man.
See, you got your money's worth.
I did, and I did the same thing with the Firebird I had. I drove that thing into the ground, although that thing was in the garage every 5 minutes. It was a 70. I've talked to you about this car before.
Yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, you have.
77 Firebird. That thing was in the shop constantly, man. Is that car known, that make and that year, known for being having to be repaired a lot?
Yeah, one of the great tragedies, I think, of the 70s auto world was that the Camaro and the Firebird, which were mechanically identical, were both built in General Motors' Van Nuys plant, which was one of the lowest quality manufacturing plants on the planet. The failure and glitch rate out of that factory were like 4 times over the industry standard.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me with the experience I had. It doesn't surprise me at all. I had to have the wheels were unaligned, and it was just every kind of mechanical problem that you could have with a car I had with that car.
And it's a shame because they were gorgeous.
Oh, cool.
Such good looking cars.
Yeah, very cool. Mine was cranberry.
There you go.
It had the cranberry interior. Everything was cranberry, and it was cool, man. So, all right, people driving around in old cars. There you go. Do you know anybody that has a car that's like excessively old?
Oh, wow. There is a guy. I'm going to just hats off to Joe Weisenfelder, who works for cars.com, which is located in Chicago, who's driving around now, I think, in a 30-year-old Mercedes.
Wow.
And God love him, because the thing is beautiful. Yeah, he keeps it on the road. It's a diesel, and it's fabulous.
And wow, there's 30 years old. Are those, as cars get older, are they harder to take care of, to get fixed?
They can be, yeah. The thing about that is, a car that's 30 years old is just so much simpler than a car now.
Yeah.
That the basic systems are just a little bit easier to maintain. I don't even know how a car sold right now is going to last 30 years. I think there's just too many very complicated and expensive things that can go wrong.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody who I know had a car for a very long time. I think 15 years, I think, is the longest of somebody that I know who had a car for that long period of time. But it's interesting to see about the old cars. Okay. All right. We've got some more stuff that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about self-driving cars. We've got some news in that. And I just got a text here, Tom. 630 area code says, any idea if Nissan will bring back the Xterra?
Funny you should ask. I just wrote a piece about this about 3-4 months ago about the 2021 Nissan Xterra. This may or may not happen depending on Chinese sanctions. The Xterra would have been built in China and imported to the U.S. It would have been based on a vehicle that is built for the Chinese market. But for people who don't know, this would be a mid-sized sort of body-on-frame SUV, a very traditional rock-poundy kind of SUV, kind of a nice addition to Nissan's lineup. Probably not going to happen the way things are right now.
Okay. Nissan has a lot of brands. I mean, how long was the Xterra around?
Wow, the Xterra lasted through most of the 90s, and it was kind of a bargain for a while.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. That answers that question. Might not be happening. All right, Tom, we're going to take a break in a minute here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about self-driving cars with the challenges that we're going to have to deal with as self-driving cars. So, Tom, hold on a second.
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, and he is here and to help you out. And if you've got a question or a concern, it's 312-981-7200, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And the phone lines are open and the text lines are open if you have any car or automotive questions. 312-981-7200. We'll jump back into the conversation with Tom right after this.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. Life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. Coming up a little bit later on, we're talking cars with Tom Appel, and if you want to join us with a question, you need some help or some advice automotive related, it's 312-981-7200 for talking text. We're going to also talk about the strangest cars ever designed. And then on this date in 1977, Gonna Fly Now from Rocky was the number one song in the country. So we're going to talk about best film theme songs. Right. And more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Two for Tuesday. Get your request and we'll play them later. Two for Tuesday. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. Tom Appel joins us once a month from Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom and check out consumerguide.com. And Tom, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And we've been talking a lot. I mean, it seems like, you know, every visit that you have with us, the subject of self-driving cars pops up at some point.
Yeah.
And there's some challenges that the World Economic Forum executive is talking about. What are the challenges facing self-driving cars? I know we've discussed a little bit of this before, but what's the latest?
Yeah, according to someone named Michelle Avery, who's head of autonomous mobility for the World Economic Forum, she identifies two things, and I think that people might respond, well, duh, when they hear this, but they go a little bit deeper than the obvious points, and that's technology and the business model. And on the technology side, it's not so much about the vehicles being able to actually do what they need to do. It's for people to have faith in them being able to do what they're going to do, which is a huge hurdle. But the second one's more interesting, and that's the business model. And one of the things that we're looking at here is the reality that if you're my age, you will probably never own an autonomous vehicle that you just go in, doesn't have a steering wheel, and you just say, take me to work. That's probably not going to happen anytime soon. What we're looking at probably is corporately owned vehicles that are doing ride hailing in a limited range, and that's what's going to happen first, and there needs to be a business model to support that. And this whole thing, the whole movement towards autonomy can collapse or significantly be slowed down if that doesn't actually work out and the demand isn't there. Mm. So we are actually approaching an interesting point where there are hurdles in the way that may be bigger than anyone thinks.
I see. You know what I've always wanted in terms of like the automated driving. I want the taxi guy from Total Recall.
That's I want that guy, too.
I want that guy.
Was that guy voiced by John Cleese? I think he was.
Is it John? Oh, yeah. You know what? I think it might have been.
Yeah, which makes it more awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, I understand, you know, you've driven some self-driving cars, and it's pretty freaky, right?
It's totally freaky, and you really want to intervene. But you have to trust that these things aren't turning off the road and slamming into barriers.
Yeah.
And that it's going to work. Yeah, we drove the Cadillac CT6 with Super Cruise, and me and three other editors were sitting in the car biting our nails, but it worked. It worked very well.
Yeah. And have there been issues with these self-driving cars?
There have been some, and Tesla's ran into the most issues, but Tesla has been the most bold with the technology. The Cadillac that we just discussed actually only works on roads that have been pre-routed by Cadillac. So Cadillac has done its own mapping, and there's only certain roads that it'll work on. The Edens, for example, is on the map, but Palatine Road is not. Whereas Tesla is a fully autonomous vehicle that isn't going by a map. It's going by just the hardware that's on the vehicle. And they've run into a few problems with that, and there have been some fairly well-publicized crashes as a result. And I think that you're going to find that traditional manufacturers, and by that I mean not Tesla, are probably going to play this a lot more conservatively than does Tesla.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on the self-driving car situations as they proceed. Jim sends in a text, Tom, that says, I have a chance to get a 2007 Range Rover, 115,000 miles for $2,000. Should I get it?
Wow. That's one of those vehicles where if you have a big problem, you just leave it by the side of the road and walk away. If you want that, I rarely say anything about buying an extended warranty. If you can get one on that car, I might do it because the parts and systems are so expensive to repair.
Okay. All right. John says, how do you know your side mirrors are in the right spot?
Wow. It's funny. The Autobahn Country Club in Joliet, Illinois has a teen defensive driving course that my daughter went through.
Yeah.
And I watched the course with her, and that guy's advice was the best. And the guy that ran that class, and he said, you don't need to see the side of your car. So what you should do is align it with the side of your car and then move it just far enough that you're no longer seeing the side of your car. That was his advice, and it works pretty well.
Oh, okay. All right. 815 area code with a text. By the way, if you have a question or a text, it's 312-981-7200. I have a 2010 Hyundai Tucson. Absolutely no problems ever. Should I take it in to see if there's an impending issue while it's still under a 10-year warranty?
The 10-year warranty is just on the drivetrain. And if you're not feeling any problems, there probably aren't any problems. I really wouldn't worry about it. But yeah, it's a shame to see that warranty run out, but you haven't had any problems, so that's good news.
Yeah. All right. How about this? Dodge launches the 2020 Charger SRT Hellcat, the world's most powerful and fastest mass-produced car.
Yes. Yes. Now that headline is sort of incomplete. There has been a Charger Hellcat. There hasn't been a Charger Hellcat wide body.
Oh.
That's the big news now, is the wide body. And this is a big deal because there was a wide body version of the similar Challenger, which is the two-door version of that car. The wide body allows Dodge to slap bigger wheels and tires on there so it can hook up a little bit faster with less wheel slip, so it actually accelerates more quickly. So, yeah, that's the news now, is the wide body edition. And it's kind of great looking because the fenders flare out 3.5 inches.
Oh,
it's just mean looking.
Yeah, that looks cool. That sounds cool. That sounds really cool. And so is there, I'm looking at this article. I wasn't aware that there was a muscle car war going on, the muscle car wars.
Yeah, Ford just launched the GT350. That is, for people who know the name Shelby, that is a Shelby massaged vehicle that Ford worked with them on. And that features a 5.2-liter V8 with a flat-plane crank, which is a thing that sounds very cool, and it's kind of complicated, but it makes for a great-sounding exhaust. Ford's about to launch the GT500, which is a supercharged version of that same vehicle. And I believe they're talking about 760 horsepower, which is 5 more than the new Corvette ZR1. So, yeah, it's kind of a horsepower war. These are silly big numbers. And cars, we just talked about the Challenger, too. These cars are all now doing 0 to 60 in around 3 seconds, which is just unfathomable. And there's no place to do that during your commute.
Wow. All right. I wasn't aware. Are muscle cars like a bit? I mean, are people still into them?
No, not really.
Actually,
sales of the Camaro have been pretty disappointing. The Mustang's still selling well. The Challenger and Charger from Dodge are selling pretty well, but they've been doing an unbelievable campaign of different updates and special editions and tweaks, and they're just constantly in the news with new additions, so they're really working it. But, yeah, I think overall the performance car market is shrinking, at least the non-luxury performance car market is.
Yeah, okay. You know, I was just thinking about my favorite muscle car in a movie. And it's the 71 Plymouth Cuda from Phantasm.
Oh.
Yeah. That's like the coolest. Have you ever seen Phantasm?
I haven't seen Phantasm in 30 years, but okay. Yes, I have seen it.
That car is unbelievable. And they had a few of them. Don Coscarelli, the director, told me that, the car enthusiasts hate him, because he cut a hole in the roof of one of them so that he could have a scene where, like, it had a sunroof where he could, the guy could stand up outside of the car in the sunroof and shoot at another car behind him. And so the car, you know, the car collectors wanted to kill him, you know, for cutting a hole in the roof of the Cuda.
Yeah, I know the producers of the Dukes of Hazzard burned through a fair number of Chargers, too.
Yeah.
That reducing the amount of those that are still left.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, this Cuda is just it's just the coolest car. And I think that Don told me that they had like four of them that they used in the movie. And like one of them goes stolen. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where you got this really cool black Cuda and everybody wants it.
That was a thing that happened with the Rockford Files too, that they burned through a lot of Firebirds that just ended up being given to members of the staff. So there just aren't a lot of them left.
Yeah. I loved that car too. That was a great car on the Rockford Files.
Oh, it's an all-time favorite of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what about this? There's a story about Porsche. Expect sports cars to change more in the next 7 years than they did in the last 70. What's going on there? We were talking muscle cars. Now we're going to go on to sports cars. What's changing?
Yeah, this is a really interesting thing for Porsche to be confronting out in public, but it's also something that's been happening for a long time. Porsche is fabulously and famously known for the 911, which is one of the purest sports cars ever built, and that car is now 70 years old. And
I have driven the
911. Yeah, it's incredible. And I've driven the 911, and it is everything that it should be. But the 911 now accounts for something like 15% of total Porsche sales. And most Porsche sales now come from crossovers and sedans, which is sort of a weird turn of events. But Porsche is also realizing that to keep up with things, or they need to go electric as well, or they will need to go electric eventually, that there's just not a lot of traditional sports car buyers anymore. So they're about to launch something called the Taycan, which is a vehicle that is, in terms of specs, very similar to the Tesla Model S. It's a little bit tidier in size, and you would expect it to handle better, and it probably will. But this is a really telling vehicle, because we'll see what it does for Porsche. It's a sedan, for one thing. It's not a sports car, although it'll handle and look a little bit like a sports car. But they're betting a lot on this, and per the article that we're discussing here, they actually talked about immediately doubling production intent. So we'll see if they're overreaching or if there's a market for this. Now, we've seen other electric vehicles not do too well. The Jaguar R-Pace we mentioned before, they can't give away. So, and I don't know what's going on yet with the Audi e-tron, which is another all-electric vehicle. So we'll see if Porsche's got something here or not.
How's Porsche doing in general?
Porsche seems to do very well. They sell cars at basically list price. They sell a lot of them, but they just don't sell the traditional sports cars anymore. They sell a lot of the Cayenne, which is their big crossover, and the Cayman. Not the Cayman, I'm sorry, their little... I can't think of the name of it right now, but they sell a compact crossover that's very popular.
And that's really weird that those are the kind of cars that are now selling very popular for Porsche.
Yeah, it really is. And when Porsche introduced the Cayenne, which was their first crossover, they were famously quoted, someone there was famously quoted as saying, "We sell cars like the Cayenne so we can still sell the 911." But now they're just in the regular car business like everybody else.
Yeah, wow. Okay. All right. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. If you have any car or automotive-related question and you want to jump in here, phone lines and text lines are open, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We got a few more stories to talk about, and any and all of your car and automotive-related questions via text or talk at 312-981-7200. All right, more with Tom after this on 720 WGN.
Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Tuesday morning. That means two for Tuesday. Yeah, man, two for Tuesday. Get your requests in now. One artist, two songs. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN. Tom Appel joins us once a month. He is a publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And let's get back to our visit with Tom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a text here with perhaps the weirdest question we've ever received, Tom.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Yes.
63 Oreo kid, area code says, if I run my used oil through a Brita filter, will it be good to put back in my car?
Well, you're going to ruin the Brita filter, and no, that oil's no.
You know that text came across the text line, and as soon as Tom saw it, he's like, "We have to print this up and read it."
The actual straight answer is you change oil not because it's dirty, but because it's broken down, and you can't fix that with a Brita or anything else.
I just don't have a Brita filter. That's an unbelievable question. All right, here's Bob on WGN. Hi, Bob.
Hello. Could I ask Tom a question? I saw a 2004 Thunderbird two-seater convertible with the hard top that comes off. These people want $10,000 for it. It's immaculate through, and it runs great. And will that car go up in price if I kept it in good shape?
Yeah, that's a fascinating car. The revival Thunderbird that was out for a few years, I think 2004 might have been right in the middle of that run. Kind of a good-looking car, didn't catch on with the buying public. It's available only as a convertible, and the hardtop that you mentioned was optional. But it's a two-seater powered by a 3.9-liter V8. Very likable, not that sporty, but a great highway car, or just to go look at leaves or something like that. Yes, they are appreciating or holding steady right now, so anything you spend on that, you will probably get back in the future. It's not going to depreciate.
$10,000 sound like a good price, Tom?
It sounds like a great price. Actually, I've seen them for as much as $25 or $35 in great condition.
Oh, there you go. All right, Bob, that's a resounding yes. All right, thank you for the call, Bob. Here's Michael on WGN. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
All right, what's up?
So I have a 2000 Toyota Solara, which is basically a Camry coupe with the V6 1MZ FE engine. And I had read online that motor has overly sensitive knock sensors and that they need to be replaced around 60,000 miles. I haven't had the car for long enough to know if they've gone bad in their lifetime, and they're about $500 to replace both. And if you don't replace them, you get reduced engine power, which obviously no one wants. I was wondering if you think it'd be a good idea to replace them anyway.
I don't know anything about that knock sensor situation, but you can kind of test yourself by using regular gas and hitting the gas hard. And if it seems like the engine's kind of bogging down or slowing down, or if it starts to make noise like knock, then, yeah, there's probably an issue. But if you want, I don't think it would cost very much to drop by a Toyota dealership and just ask them what they think you should do.
All righty.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, Michael, thanks. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom, we haven't talked about the real quickly, we can touch on this. Man, gas prices, huh?
Yeah. God. Yeah. 19 cents as of today.
Isn't that nuts?
It is nuts, and we can only hope we can only hope that the infrastructure updates based on that money actually happen as promised.
Yeah, absolutely. They better. Because there are people driving to Indiana to get gas.
Yeah, I was actually trying to figure out today, in case we talked about this, how many gallons of gas are sold in Illinois a year, and I couldn't figure it out. Couldn't find a number, but that's lots of money.
It is.
Every road should be glass smooth in a year because of this.
I totally agree. No, there better not be any problems with any bridges or anything.
No. The bridges should be painted.
Yep.
They should work perfectly.
Yeah.
No chunks of concrete falling from them anymore.
I can't tell you how angry my father is about this. Oh, man, he's so angry about the prices, the gas prices. It's crazy. All right, so you wrote a piece about bumper stickers.
Yes, I did.
All right, and you got some pictures here. Let's tell us about this piece that you wrote about bumper stickers.
Yeah, I see a lot of bumper stickers. I spend a lot of time in traffic.
Yeah.
I'm usually irritated that I'm spending time in traffic. And I spend a lot of time looking at the backs of people's cars. So I tried to just identify sort of the actual different illnesses involved in placing too many stickers on your car. And
yeah.
I identified, I think, four or five of those here. And one of them was the obvious. I call it the gateway drug of auto stickering.
Mm-hmm.
And that's family pride. Now, full confession, just coming out, we actually had a My Daughter is an Honor Roll Student sticker on my wife's car for a while.
Okay.
So we fell prey to it. But we didn't go further.
Now, what about these the stick figure family? That's always one that I find fascinating. And what's really funny is there's this picture that's made it through the internet where, you know, you got the mother, you got the father, and there's like nine kids. And then there was, you know, the back window of the car was dusty, so somebody wrote, "Get off her," on the window. Because there were like 11 kids and like four dogs and stuff. So it was like, "Get off her," was written. But where did those come from? Everybody's got those things now.
I don't know, but I think that on a Saturday, if you drive around Woodfield Mall, one half of all minivans have a stick figure family.
I wouldn't doubt that number at all, Tom.
And the amusing, it was amusing for 5 minutes, the giant dinosaur chasing the stick figure family
right.
off the car. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Getting old now, too.
Yep. Okay, well, what about the mixed messaging, losing focus?
Yeah. That's the next stage, where people have a cat sticker, a dog sticker, and then some country sticker that you can't identify.
It's
like, you know, it's not as easy as Poland or Germany. It's some country that you've never heard of. There's just two letters for, like PJ. And I'm like, I don't know what country that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How about the over-dedication when you want everybody to know what your cause is or your passion is, and you've got ribbons all over your car?
Yeah, that's the next stage, that
yeah.
you have causes.
Yeah.
I'm glad the ribbons are going out of vogue now, because there was just too many of them. They were all different colors, and I think people were becoming self-mocking.
Oh, yeah. No, there were it got ridiculous after a while with all the different colored ribbons, and cars driving around with 12 ribbons on the back of their car.
Yeah, and I've got a picture here of a car with three ribbons and, I believe, a dog paw.
Right. I see that one. I'm looking at it right now with a dog paw. How about "It's not my car, inherited vehicle abuse"?
Yeah, this is a high school problem.
Yeah.
Where some kid ends up adopting a car that his father hands him down when his dad gets a new car and just starts covering it with band stickers. Now, when I was in high school, it was the Public Image Limited sticker.
Oh, sure, PIL. Yeah. Yeah, that was a big one. All right, and then finally, this last one is nuts. These are the people who have no. You can't see the paint job anymore on the car.
No, and I've got this great picture, and people have actually emailed me that they've seen this car.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, but this woman has a lot of causes. They seem to be primarily liberal, and I'm sure she's a good person and means well. But I have no idea how she can keep track of all the things that she supports.
Yeah,
but it's cats, dogs, unity, peace.
Yeah,
I mean, these are good things. The labor movement.
Yeah, pretty crazy. But I mean, but the car looks nuts. Looks like a crazy person owns it.
Yeah. I've actually received an email telling me that it is a crazy person.
Ah, there you go. Speaking of, you know what car I haven't seen around the city? I used to see it in Andersonville quite a lot. The car with the springs all over it.
Oh, I don't think I know what that is.
Oh no, it's a car that's like it's got a whole bunch of springs glued to it.
Like,
all over the side, all over the hood, all over the roof, everything.
And I have not seen that car.
Well,
I need to look that up.
It's been years, but it's a car that somebody just decided that they were going to glue like hundreds of tiny springs all over it. And they drove her mostly. I saw it mostly in Andersonville, and I haven't lived in Andersonville in a very long time, so the car might be off the street. But it was around on the streets for a while.
Huh?
Yeah.
There's a car around Morton Grove that's famous. It's a black Chrysler 300 that has virtually every single accessory you can buy at Pep Boys glued to the outside of it. And we actually watch the progress of that vehicle, and we know what restaurants it's at and what day. But it's hard to get a picture of because the guy wants to pose with the car. It's like, no, I want to make fun of you.
I don't want you to proudly be posing with this thing.
Yeah, this is kind of. And then I feel bad about the whole thing.
Yeah, that's hilarious. All right, you can read Tom Appel and everybody else's stuff at Consumer Guide Automotive. That's consumerguide.com. And check out their blog, too. Lots of fun stuff. You wrote about the car from the Good Omens TV show, too.
Yeah, I did.
We'll get into that. You can read that there. And you can also follow Tom at Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Tom, always a pleasure. Thanks very much, and we'll talk next month.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay, buddy, take care. That's Tom Appel, everybody, and he'll join us again next month. News is coming up right after this.